Okay, we begin Nachum. Nachum Maso Ninveh Sefer Chazoin Nachum Hoel Koishi. Very unique way to begin the Sefer. Before we begin the Sefer, let's take a look at the back, page 915. Page 915, we get an idea. What era did Nachum live in? Nachum is later than Micha. As you see on page 915, you see that he lived very during the time after the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. Okay, we've been spending a lot of time on Micha. Micha, most of the Nevuos of Micha appeared, I mean, the beginning of the first pasuk of the Sefer was always it's a very revealing. It tells us a lot about about the person, about to whom he is speaking. That's very important to know, of course. Who are you talking to? Okay, you gotta know your audience. We all know that. There's some very talented people that can speak to many different types of audiences, but if their role is to speak to a certain group, they have to adapt and speak to that group. So we have to know who is he talking to, when did he live, and what is his background. And what we have over here on this chart in the back, which obviously the chart in the back of this page is all taken from the Psukim, is taken from other Mamari Chazal, we learn that there is, the one thing we learned at least from the art school, where the art school presents it, there's no machloikis. There's no disagreement as to when he lived. Also, another very important thing we have to know about a person is who were his contemporaries. So let's review. We want to do an analysis, like make believe you're working for the CIA, or you're working for the Secret Service, and now they want to recruit someone to work for them. So you got to know his background. What does his background include? Where he lives, who he communicates with, and who are his friends. That says it all. So who are the friends of Nachum? The friends are Yoel and Chavakuk. Now Yoel, we already spent a lot of time on. We learned Yoel, Sefer Yoel, the grasshoppers. We spend the whole say. But the truth is, it's not so simple, because if you look on the chart here, we learned about this a lot. Whoever says that Yoel was a contemporary of Nachum, at least the way the article presents it, Yoel is a number 9 and 8, which means that you see that it's not so simple when Yoel lived. Yoel may indeed have lived during an entirely different time period. So that would mean that Nachum never saw Yoel. Maybe he learned it. He was influenced by him. He studied his works. But to say that Nachum and Yoel will live in the same time, okay, that's not so simple, because you see it's a dispute. Chavakuk, unfortunately, we didn't learn him yet, so we don't know much about Chavakuk. He's coming up next. He's on deck. So we have not learned yet Chavakuk, so we have to wait for Chavakuk to see. And then we're going to have the last three are a team. It's a team, like a team. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, they go together. But at least now Nachum is independent. And one advantage is that there is no disagreement here. There's no disagreement about Nachum if he lives in different eras. They seem here in the article to put him in one time period, and they're satisfied with that. Okay, so let's take a look over here right away at the first pasuk again, Masa. Masa is one of the 10 terms that is used in Chazal to describe a prophecy. Ninveh. Ninveh, we know, was the city Ninveh that was Yoina. Yoina was sent to Ninveh to prophesize they should do teshuvah. And they did. They listened, at least temporarily. Chazal tell us that after Yoina gave them Musa and they did teshuvah, later, after the story was long over, they went back to their old ways and Hashem destroyed Ninveh. So here it says that this Musa was for Ninveh. Okay, we'll have to see what that means in more detail. Chazoin, the Sefer, this is called the Sefer, Chazoin, the vision. Now we have another word. We had Masa, and now we have Chazoin, two words which seemingly are very similar. Nachum Hoel Koishi. El Koishi is seemingly the name of a place. We'll see different mepharshim in a moment what El Koishi means. the name of a place, the name of a family. And what is definitely stands out in this pasuk, with setting off every alarm that ever existed, is the word sefer. Where do you have a book? Where do you have a book that begins with the word sefer? Okay, sefer is not something we find at all, I think. And especially, this is a very big problem for those people who like to attempt to define the difference between Nevi'im and Kesuvim. Okay, Nevi'im and Kesuvim, because Nevi'im, we generally like to assume, was never really meant to be written. A Navi preached, he spoke, Milosha Niv Sifosayim. He was a preacher. And someone came along later and recorded, took the recordings of the Navi and put them in a book. The book form is something that was not necessarily foreseen at the time when the words of this prophecy was delivered. On the other hand, Kesuvim comes from the word Kesav, which means that it was never said. It was put in book form from day one. That the purpose of the message was to write, to record a record of what happened. It was put in book form. That's why it's called a kesuv, loshon of kesav. The word sefer is a term that we ordinarily associate with kesav. Sefer is a book. A book is a collection of kesavim, of written words. Nevuah was not meant to ever be a sefer. So this word here in the beginning of this Nevuah of Nachum presents a great challenge to the vast majority of the commentators when they attempt to understand what qualifies, what attribute of a prophecy qualifies to be put in the category of Nevi'im, and what unique principle concept qualifies to be put in the book of Kesuvim. When they see the word Sefer, it's a bit of a challenge, because this is a term that you would expect to be among the Kesuvim, not by the Nevi'im. Okay, so let's keep all of those, a lot of things that are going on in this first pasuk. Let's see right away the Mitzvah David. The Mitzvah David over here is not all that, is very Mekatzer. All the Perush we have here on the page, he doesn't say very much, and he says, Ma'asan Inveh. Hanavuah hi nemra al Ninveh hi roish mamleches Ashur. The Navi here is giving Musar to who? To the non-Jews. Who is this similar to? Ovadia. I'm sorry? What did you say? Ninveh, right. So who Ninveh is Ashur, the Goyim. If you ask a child who has not yet been exposed to the depth of Navi, you always get the impression. You get the impression that there's no one in this world but Jews. And even Jews, no one but from Jews. Ultra-Orthodox Jews are the only one. Everyone else is just a cockroach. Right? There's no such thing. Humanity doesn't exist outside the world of the five boroughs of New York City, which include Muncie, Lakewood, New Square. Right, there doesn't does Borough Park. Okay, so it doesn't. So if you're not been exposed to the world, you get the impression that there's no one out there except for the.
I've been trying to explain to my kids when they were little that these people are Jewish, but they're not Shomer Shabbos. It's a hard concept
for a child. It is a very hard concept. It really is. It's a hard concept.
Yeah.
And especially in Lakewood, this is many, many years ago. I remember when my nephew was how old could he have been? 3 years old. So he lived in Lakewood. He grew up in Lakewood, and where he lived, I guess, on Shabbos, there were no cars. He lived in a little teeny hole in the ground somewhere, in this little place, and everyone there was basically from. So on Shabbos, you can walk. You can walk like in the parking area, in the street, because there were no cars. So, as a three-year-old kid, in his mind, Shabbos means the whole world is quiet. And he comes to Shabbos to Brooklyn, and he looks out the window and he sees cars comes. So he says, he calls them the goyishes. He made up a new word, the goyishes. I think his sister called them the goyims. The goyims. And these kids, they make up words. The goyims and the goyishes. Like my brother once said, says playing when he was a child, he says, you're the king and you'll be the queen. The king and the queen. You make up new words. The goyishes. So we have over here until we get the impression that there's no one in the world but from people, and that's categorically not true. Obviously, there's a whole world out there of creatures that are created in the Tselem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. We're not very happy with them because throughout our 2,000 years, they have not been very good to us. They've caused us enormous grief, harm, and spilled our blood. And even those who did not spill our blood, their indifference to our suffering is not to be ignored. So we have developed in our blood an attitude towards the Umos Olam. I'm not going to use any nice expressions here, but you can figure out what I would say, because of their indifference, either what they have actually done to us, or their indifference to our suffering. And that's for Hashem to judge and decide.
There's also the problem of a righteous
goyim,
which is hard to...
Oh, there is such a thing. It's hard to explain to a child.
If you're insulated, you say, oh, goyim means he's an ice bar.
Exactly. It's very, very hard to break them open, to open up their minds. But when you learn Tanakh, it comes very, very clear, very quickly, is that Hashem created a whole world, and every person is created in the Tselem Elokim, and Hashem has a message and a purpose for every person, a religious purpose, and Hashem wants them to be religious on their level. They were offered the Torah. Hashem, when he gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Hashem offered the Torah to every single creature in this world. You know what that means? That's an incredible, incredible statement. And we like to just forget about that. We look at it. We have the Torah. It was created for us from day one, and that's it. The goyim were never ever part of the equation. When you have that attitude, the goyim were never part of the equation. They were out of it. That means the goyim, they're just garbage. They're not. That's not the way it was. Hashem went to every nation and said, "I'm giving you. You are created in the Tselem Elokim." And if you want the Torah, you could have it. You could have it. Hashem is not offering the Torah to a cockroach. He's not offering it to a water bug. He's not offering it to a chimpanzee. He came to the Umay Sa'olam and said to them, "You want the Torah? It's yours." They rejected it. All right, they got problems. They have big problems. But the fact that Hashem was willing to give the Torah to the Umos Olam is an incredible insight into what Hashem thinks, Hashem holds from the Goyim. You are people that I was willing to give the Torah to. And that's amazing. I don't think we today, certainly children, don't look at it like that. That part of that Chazal somehow was, brushed under the rug. Now, when you understand that Hashem was willing to give them the Torah, okay, they did not accept it. There are a lot of things Hashem also wanted to do for us, for Klal Yisrael.
But the fix was in, really.
Elu ve'elu divrei.
You just have to give them they can't argue back later.
The Ribbono Shel Olam wants present. It's not like us. We go, or we know you're not. You go invite someone to a wedding. Right, you're sitting there making the invitations to a simcha, and you're making the calculus. We can't afford to invite all these people. I know for sure this guy's not going to come, so I might as well invite him. Right. He'll send me a present, and it'll be kulo revach. That's what we do. That's our hasagas. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not like that.
Well,
if Hashem invites you to the wedding, he wants you to come, and he expects you to come. It's true. It was fixed. We know the Mamari Chazal, that the goyim were never going to take it anyway.
Right.
That's absolutely correct, but yet, by the Ribbono Shel Olam, there are many different dimensions. There are many different, there's a lot of, if Hashem did go to the Umay Sa'olam and offer them the Torah, that's quite a statement. That Hashem is MS. You indeed are eligible, and you blew it. You decided not to take it. Now, forget about their failure. We're also full of failures. We're full of failures. We also are not perfect. But yeah, we still demand of Hashem.
If we were perfect, it would still be in Shemayim, not here. Right?
Exactly. And yet we demand of Hashem to reward us as if we're perfect. And Hashem says, okay. So the Goyim also, they made a big mistake. But if Hashem revealed that He was willing to give them the Torah, Hashem obviously he has something to offer them. And when we learn about a Navi whose purpose is exclusively to give prophecy to a non-Jewish nation, that's quite a statement. That's quite a revelation that the average person who's not been exposed to Tanakh is very surprised. Like, really? The Goyim exist to the point where Hashem is going to send a Navi exclusively to talk to them? And we already had three. We already had three of these people. We had Ovadia. Yeah. The whole purpose of Ovadia was to give over a prophecy to one. His whole existence is one, to give prophecy to Edom. Edom, shape up or ship out. Yoina, a little more complex. Yoina's Nevuah was, only what we have in the books, is to Nineveh. And we did have some insight into his history that he did also give over Nevuah to Klal Yisrael, but it's not recorded in the Pesukim. Now we come to the third of the team. And it's the last one. That's it. After this, we're done. There's really no one else. Because we've gone through everything else. And Haggai, Zechariah Malachi, their Nevuah is for Klal Yisrael. So this is really the last one of the team is Nachum. Nachum's Nevuah is for Nineveh. Yeah.
Can you explain how we understand how the Goyim today accept the Torah and as part of their, the scriptures, including the Nevi'im and Ksuvim?
Well, the Christians accept the Bible,
yeah,
and the Muslims, Islam, accepted the Bible as well.
They revised.
However, both of them have revised it in different ways. The Christians, very interesting. The Christians did not tamper with the Bible. They did not.
Right.
That's a very fascinating insight. They did not. They added to it a lot of other stuff. Not everything they added is apikorsis. We were brainwashed and think everything they added is pure apikorsis. It's not true. Not everything in the New Testament,
it's called the Christian Bible.
The Christian Bible. Okay.
We don't say old and new.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with all the details. But not everything they've added, you should know, is apikorsis. I mean, there is.
It's copied.
All right. But there is some. It's very complicated. There are a lot. But the Bible? Chamishei Chum Shei Torah?
What language?
What language? Hebrew.
The Christians?
They then had it in Greek.
They translated it.
They translated it into Latin, right, and so on.
But initially they used Hebrew.
Yeah.
Hebrew.
Even today, they study Hebrew and they go back to the source, the real, because of course you can't compare a translation to the original. And they accept that the original Bible is what we have. Yeah.
They have in Hebrew the new edition, and somebody left it at our work. So we look the language, not the modern Hebrew, the biblical language.
Right. The original Hebrew.
So they said this is the original, and what we use with this guy who left, that will be reading from the street. He says a translation from this.
Well,
all the nuances I don't know, but basically
various translations, it's evolved.
Islam, the Muslim, they've taken it and they forged it.
Right.
They've taken the Bible and they take out the word Yitzchak, they put in the word Yishmael, the Kohen, I don't know the Pratim, But that's the nature of a Yishmaeli. They're liars. The whole essence of Yishmael is kuloi sheker.
Right.
Kuloi sheker. Where does it come from? Me'avi melech nisabra sara. The first lie of Islam is when Yishmael said, we associate Islam with Yishmael. Are they biological descendants?
No one
can prove that.
They
no one can prove that. But we view that they have adopted, they have embraced the ideology of Yishmael, whatever that means. So we associate Christianity with Esav and Islam with Yishmael. And the first thing that came out of Yishmael was Tzchoik is Vateres Sara as Yishmael Mitzachek. That Yishmael was laughing. And what does it mean, Mitzachek? Rashi, there's many Perushim. One of the Perushim is he went and he invented the big lie. The big lie, Me'avi Melech Nisabra Sara. That Yitzchak is Me'avi Melech Nisabra Sara. Right. Nisabra Sara. That Yitzchak is a mamzer. Okay? The big lie. The big lie. And that midah of law, of being a liar, goes right into what they did to the Bible. They took the Bible and they forged it. They took the psukim and they rewrote it according to their lock and claimed this is the emes. Christianity, they have more morals. The Christians, they're bigger. Don't worry, I'm not michael them for killing my whole family. Don't worry, and if anyone else for that matter, okay, Esav. But Esav, they didn't change the Bible. To their credit, they did not change the Bible. Islam changed the Bible because the mahus of a Yishmaeli is kuloi sheker. Kuloi, everything that comes out of the mouth of a Yishmaeli is sheker. Arafat, no one matched him. No one could match. He was the mumcha sheba mumcha of sheker.
You, what? You saw the piece I sent out last week. The one,
yeah.
I sent out last week about how they said that the
Indians.
The Indians killed the Indians because
they were Muslims. Really, Indians. George Washington
killed
all the Indians because they were Muslims. Yeah. Yeah. This is the Malhus. The whole Malhus of a Yishmaeli. Of a Yishmaeli is to say, is to be a cool. And I told you all drasha. Where does it come from? It was a punishment to us. Because Avram Avinu, he said to Avimelech, she's my sister. Said to Paro, she's my wife, she's my sister. Avraham lied. And what happened? Well, you lied to me here. I'm giving you a gift, Hagar. You like to lie? Here's the ultimate liar, Hagar. From Hagar came Yishmael. From Yishmael says Mitzachek. From that came a whole religion of lies. Lies. And the biggest lie of Islam is they took the Chamishei Chumshei Torah and they manipulated it. Christianity, they did something different. They kept the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, but they said it expired, and now there's a new Mashiach, there's a new whole theology, and they added their own additions to create the Christian Bible, all in the name of love, right? Love and peace.
That's right.
And as I told you, the symbol of the religion is hate. What kind of crazy symbol of your religion is to show the murder, another lie, there's also a lie, by the way, a lie. The symbol of their religion is that the Jews killed their God. It's a lie. The Romans killed their God. Nothing to do with us. And therefore, we have to avenge his blood. What kind of crazy symbol is that? You preach your religion of love and tolerance, you hold the whole symbol of your religion is revenge, hate. It's a total, it's not believable. Not
God,
the hypocrisy of their religion.
Oh,
yeah.
That is their, that's their trademark, right?
Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. So it's different. Yishmael's trademark, see, we're solving all the world's problems here. Okay? We're solving all the world's problems right here in this room. We know the Yishmael, their trademark is lies. And Esav, their trademark is hypocrisy.
Killing a God is hypocrisy. Like,
yeah, because I'll talk about
what?
God can't be, a God can't be killed.
Of course not. Crazy. There's nothing that makes any sense. Does it make any sense? And if you catch them, they'll just manipulate. They'll just change their. They'll change all
the.
Right?
Esau is the epitome of hypocrisy.
And Yishmael is the epitome.
Respectable look, but inside, forget about it.
And Yishmael is the epitome of a liar. A liar and a hypocrite. These are our what we deal with. What we deal with every single day in this world. We are liars and hypocrites. And the Musa Haskell is: we should not be liars, and we should not be hypocrites. At least that much we can try to do. Okay, we can't go. Don't try to fix them. Let's at least try to fix ourselves. So that answers your question. Well, how about the goyim today? The goyim today got big problems. We also have problems. They have bigger problems. But we're going back now to the time of Nachum, and Christianity and Islam did not yet begin. At this point in time, obviously, there was more of an appreciation of a human being, the value of a human being, of a non-Jew, of the Tzelem Elokim. And here, it's an awesome concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed a human being to be a prophet just for the purpose to give over a message to the Umay Sa'ilam. It's a major statement of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu values the life, values a human being who is not a Jew. Again, going back, we said before, Hashem offered them the Torah. If Hashem offered them the Torah, that means Hashem was willing to give them the Torah. It's an incredible statement. And even though they failed miserably and rejected the Torah, Hashem did not give up on them. Hashem still sent them prophets to communicate with them and give them something to offer and encourage them to improve or to let them know how much trouble they're in. Maybe they can save their souls to some degree. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, intervened in this whole process and he said, V'niflinu ani v'amecha. And what does Rashi there say? Moshe was mispalel not to rest his divine, that Hashem should not rest his divine presence upon the Umay Sa'olam. Isn't that amazing? Where do you find such a thing like that? That a person who today, would you go be mispalel that Hashem don't give this person siyata d'shmaya in his life? Mind your own business. Mind your own business, right? It was like you're davening to Hashem. You daven, I need your help. Help me, help my family, help my friends, help Klal Yisrael. The goyim, punish them, get rid of them, make sure at least protect us from them. It's none of our business to say to Hashem, you know, like, don't rest your divine presence upon the goyim. It's very hard to understand what that means. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel to Hashem, do not rest the Shechina upon the Umay Sa'olam. It would appear that Hashem answered his prayer. And if Hashem did not answer his prayer, if Moshe would not have been mispalel, then there would be today in this world a degree that the Umay Sa'olam also have Shechina. Really? Yeah?
But maybe what Moshe was thinking was that's our advantage. We don't have the numbers. We don't have the other advantages in this world. And so, you know, so that we need to retain our spiritual advantage in order to survive.
Okay, yeah, you have to understand what that means. What that means exactly. Okay, all right.
So didn't he have the advantage?
Let's go further.
But out in the world, against the 70 nations, no, we don't. We don't have the numbers.
Then, I'm talking about then.
We never have the numbers. The Torah says we are the smallest of nations.
Okay, let's see. Let's go further. So we have over here, back to the Mishnah David, Masa Ninveh, HaNevuah HaHi Nemra Al Ninveh. The purpose of Nachum is to speak to the Umay Sa'olam. Who to Ashur. Ninveh is the capital of Ashur. Ashur was the world power. Ashur at this moment in time succeeded in exiling the Aseres HaShvatim. As we looked in the map, in the timeline, in the back of the Sefer, 915, page 915, we learned that Nachum lived after the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. That's it, they were gone. They were now living in Ashur. Or they were already assimilating. They were gone, not to return until Mashiach, if even then. And he's now giving a message to this nation that they are in a lot of trouble because of what they have done, the damage, the permanent, irreparable damage they have done to Klal Yisrael. Sefer, Zehu Sefer Nevuah Shel Nachum. A Sefer Nevuah is an oxymoron. A Nevuah is Niv Sifosayim. It's meant to be spoken. Ksuvim is something that you write down. To put these two words together, we have to figure out the depth of what this means. It's a book of Nevuah. Shel Nachum Ho El Koishi. What is El Koishi? El Koishi is the name of a place. Hu Ho Yahamisnabe Al Ninve. Look at the Mitzudo Sion on the right, on the left side. Ho El Koishi Shem Ir El Koish. The name of a city called El Koish. That's what its name is. Now, where is El Koish? I do not know.
Maybe, we don't know.
We don't know where El Koish is. Again? What?
Where is Asher?
Asher is Assyria, which is Assyria, which is where is it? Yeah. It's somewhere like I don't even in the Middle East.
somewhere
in the Middle East.
Up north
Turkey.
It's not Iraq.
No. It's hot above.
Syria.
Is it Turkey?
Syria,
it's a chunk of our. Maybe we don't really know where it is.
Hard
to say. Maybe it's part of it is Iran, Iraq, the Iran-Iraq border up north, with Turkey. Too far. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I don't know. It's somewhere in the Middle East. Where exactly? I'm not so sure anyone knows. But wherever it is, it is. Okay, let's go further. Now let's see. These are conjectures.
Right. It does have the map, but it has the arrows pointed.
Okay, 9:13. Asher, this is the arrow. Okay, that's not going to do us very much.
Okay, it's
conjecture. It's somewhere out there. Let's go further. Now let's look over here at Rashi. Rashi says Masa Ninveh Matal Kos Delevat. Matal means a cup. A matal of curse. It's like the kois hatarela. How does he translate the word matal literally?
Under which? Under masa.
Masa means masa.
The curse. The
okay, but what's the word masa? Masa is matal.
Masa is the burden. That's
the burden. Okay, so he's translating the burden. Matal is the burden. Of the kos de levot, a cup of poison. What we call the kos hatar ela, the cup of poison that Hashem will give to drink.
It's like I've called it before, the toxic cup.
The toxic cup, la'ash ka'o yas ninve. Targum adds a mouthful into this pasuk and says, this is not really, maybe that's what it's coming to say the word sefer. Maybe that's part of the explanation of what it means over here. He appears to be reading into the word Sefer. This is not just a prophecy telling them instructions. What is a prophecy normally? A prophecy normally is instructions. I'm giving you instructions. I want you to be better people. I want you to improve. I want you to get out of your situation. Is that really what Nachum here is coming to do, to tell the Ashur that just do teshuva and everything will be fine and good? Not really. He's basically telling them, according to Targum Minister and Uziel, is, guys, it's too little, too late, it's all over for you. I want to go and just tell you as a fact, cold hard facts, you're goners. You're going to be obliterated from the face of the earth. Then there's nothing you can do. This nevuah is not the type of nevuahs that we are accustomed to in the rest of Tanakh. In Tanakh, a nevuah always creates a possibility of change. Opens up for the people who are listening a realization that they do still have an opportunity to do teshuvah to prevent what would otherwise come upon them if they maintain the status quo. It appears here the way Rashi, the Targum, learns the Pasuk, and it appears based upon this additional word which really does not fit into the theme of Nevuah, of Sefer. He's saying a Nevuah, I'm speaking, but I'm saying it's too late for you. Your Gezerah is sealed in blood, not in clay, not in sand or anything. It's over. It's a Sefer. Masa Ninveh, Sefer Chazoy. Sefer does not mean a book. A book in the written form. That's what the Mitzvah Sefer wanted to say. Zeu Sefer. Here, it's a book. It's a pages. It's a codex. Take some paper and ink, how do they say the old paper, papyrus, what do they call it? The
papyrus?
How do you say that word?
Papyrus.
Papyrus? Right. Mm-hmm. That's what it says. No. That's not what the Targum says. Sefer does not mean here to mean, in his context, to mean a book. Because Nevuah is never a book. Sefer means it's too little, too late. It's etched in stone. You're done. Just like it's a book means this is like a record. It's done. It's a done deal. You people are finished. It's a sefer chazoin. It's a matal. Now here, masah means a burden. Matal. We use the word masah to mean the prophecy. Why is a prophecy called a burden? So the mashal I always like to give is the expression a rabbi is pregnant with a drasha. Did you ever hear that line?
No.
I told you a lot a few times. Rabbi Maievsky knows what that means. Only a rabbi knows what that means. A rabbi is, if you're not a rabbi, you have no clue what that means. A rabbi is pregnant with a drasha. That means as follows. If you're not a rabbi, you have no clue what this means. It means that a woman who's pregnant, the baby is coming out one way or another. Okay, 9 months come, whether the baby is dead or alive, the woman who's pregnant, it's not going to remain like this. No way. The baby is getting out of that womb one way or another. Either it's going to be a stillborn, or it's going to be a healthy child, it's going to be a preemie, or it's going to be overdue, but it's getting out of there. It's not staying in the stomach. If a rabbi comes up with a drasha, he has an idea, and his mind is percolating. Oh, I have a drasha. Oh, and he puts that drasha aside. I'm going to say this at a simcha, at a bar mitzvah, at a levaya, at a wedding, at a Shabbos HaGadol drasha. And then that time comes when he's planning to say the drasha, he's going to say the drasha. One way or another. And if they don't let him speak at this event, so he'll say it another time. When a rabbi has in his mind the drasha, he's pregnant with the drasha, meaning he will find a way, one way or another, to find an audience to say and release that drasha from his mind. That's what a Navi is. A Navi carries a masa, a burden. I carry on my back, I'm carrying this massive stone on my back. I cannot continue to carry this stone. I have to release it. I'm pregnant with it, and we have to release it. What's the burden? The burden is the prophecy. Hashem puts in the mind of another a prophecy. It's in his head. I have to express it. And until I express it, get it out of my system, it's considered to be a burden. That's why a nevuah is called a masa, a burden. So the Targum, the trail of masa means a matal is a burden. Rashi says, the word he has to admit the sefer means it's a done deal. Sefer means his poetic translation is it's a kos, a goblet, the levot of a cursor, translates a toxic cup, le ashka'a, that. Oh, very good, very good. Matal is a netilas yodayim.
Something
you're carrying. A matal. It's a utensil. Matal also means a cup. So, but it isn't. We're saying over here the word masa. Masa is a matal, he seems to be saying it.
Yeah.
Okay. So they go together. It goes together. Okay. Matal cost the levat la ashka'a to give to drink yas ninve to ninve. Next words of Rashi. Sefer chazayin. Kainu b'miksas sefarim. Now that's very strange. What do you mean sefer chazayin only b'miksas sefarim? Does that mean to imply that not every sefer has the word sefer?
No. It's the word chazon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that. Okay, very good. Thank you. We can take a look over here and look down at the bottom of the Minchas Shai. Okay, I'm sorry. Look at the Minchas Shai in the bottom of the page. Sefer chazon, l'rashi chazon, nokud komatz. With the komatz, not chazon, chatapatach. Because the word chazoin is not connected to the word sefer. He wants to use the word chazoin as an independent word. When the word is independent, then the correct vowel is a komatz, cho zoin. A chat of patach is usually used when you're, it's smichos, when you're connecting it to the previous word. Chazoin nokur komatz lefisha eino dovak ve'eino doime lachazoin yeshayahu. Because in that context, what chazoin is somuch to yeshayahu, the two words go together, then it's going to be chazoin. Should nokur chat of patach. It says there as well. It says nichta betzidoy. I think it means over here. It means same thing. It says chozoin. Sefar machayim chozoin bekomatz. It says here on the side chozoin bekomatz. Period. Ulradak b'shva upatoch. The radak learns like we have is a chat of patach. The two together. Ki hu samuch k'moy chazon yeshayahu. V'afdi v'harav Avraham ben Ezra ben Moran Cain ibn Ezra. Also says that it's chazoin, it's sefer chazoin. Kidavek hu af al pi she'enoy severe, even though it's not a severe. We have it as a severe. What's a question? Let's say the word chazoin is samuch. To what is it samuch to? Is it samuch to Nachum Hoel Koishi? Or maybe it's samuch to sefer? What's it samuch to? Okay, you can really put the word in the trap. The way we have the Tameh HaMikra, it's a dargah severe, which means that it's samach to sefer. It's not samach to Nachum Ho'el Koishi. If it was samach to Nachum Ho'el Koishi, then the Tameh HaMikra should be, let's say, Amercha Tipcha Soif Pasuk. It should be Chazoi Nachum Ho'el Koishi. The Tameh HaMikra of a severe next to a darga indicates that when we say that it's samuch, the way we have in our print over here, it's a chat of patach under the ches, which means it's samuch, and it's samuch to the word sefer. It's modifying the sefer. It's a sefer of chazoin. So, but he doesn't say well. But now in the way he put it over here in the mincha shai, he seems to indicate that that's not everyone's mesora, that his mesora, that there is no severe under the word chazoin. Shakosav kidovik hu af alpi shu, oh no, it says af alpi shu severe, okay, ad kan, which seems to indicate, according to Ibn Ezra, he wants to put the word chazoin next to Nachum. And he apologizes, even though the Tameh HaMikra indicate not like what I'm telling you, don't chab me on Diktuk, or don't chab me on the Tameh HaMikra. It doesn't matter, I'm going to put it next to Nachum Ho'el Koishu, because I have a precedent. I have the ultimate precedent of Chazoin Yeshayahu. Chazoin Yeshayahu is a more powerful proof than the Ta'ameh HaMikra. And that's something very important, because the Ta'ameh HaMikra on Nevi'im and Kesuvim is a little shaky. It's not as solid as Chamishei Chumshei Torah. The Ta'ameh HaMikra, the Chamish Shechum Shei Torah, is very strong. It's a very strong Mesorah, and we don't play around with it. But in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, it's not so, it's weak. There's a lot of weakness. We don't know for sure it's correct. Ad kan, b'chol svarim shalifonai, heim k'divei radak. And the Mincha Shai, who is the accepted authority on these matters, he says, I did all the research, and my research shows me that the vast majority of the Kisva Yad of the old Sfarim indicate that the Radak is correct, that's the majority, that there's a severe chazoin, but it's a chatapatach, not like Rash, that says chazoin. V'achochem abarbenel, kosav, ukefi ha-sfarim ha-meduyokim asher lanu, tzodku divrei Rashi. The Barbanel says Rashi may be in the minority, but he's right. Why? Fine. Okay, that's what he says, right? Ho'el koishi, b'sefer echad kisiv asyad, reading another word of the Mincha Shai, Ho'el Koishi Tartein Milin. Two words. Break this up. Ho'el Koishi Tartein Milin Uvishar Svarim Chada Mila. So that's a very big difference. If it's going to be one word, that would seem to indicate that it's a place, it's a location. If you break it into two words, it seems to be it's two different words. El means mighty. Koishi means...
Not in, say, Arabic, where L is the...
Okay, but this is not Arabic, unless you want to...
In other languages as well.
If you want to say it's Arabic, okay, so then you're getting... Once you break it into two words, then you're already getting into a question, is this the name of, is it a prefix? Which would then mean that the name of the city was called Koishi, and we have to go back to the map and find the place called Koishi, not the word El Koishi, because El is just a prefix to the name of the real city, or...
It could still be
El Koishi as one word or two words, yeah. Or maybe when you break it up into two words, it's not the name of a place. It's a description of his character. Mm. He was El, and it's not usually with a segol. It would be a Aleph Lamed means power, and Koishi means strength. So it means that Nachum would be described as the Iron Man. You don't know what that is, right? Yeah. No one watches superheroes. What? You know what the Iron Man is?
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is. Okay, but it means the Superman. The Superman. He was an El Koishi. He was known when they said Nachum, they gave him a title. Nachum, he's like Shimshon HaGibor. What is Shimshon HaGibor in English? What was the English name? Samsung.
You just ripped that line off.
I ripped it off your grandchild, not of you.
Yeah.
I plagiarized your grandson. Okay? Shimshon HaGibor. You never heard of Shimshon HaGibor? What was his English name in school? Samsung. Not Samson. You don't get this? Okay? You get it, right? Don't quit your day job, okay? Yeah.
Targum Yonason says we base Koshi.
Right.
Oh.
So the Targum indeed says. The Targum Yonason says Nachum the base Koshi. Look, so very good. Look at the Targum. He's saying very good. It says, look at the Targum over here, it says, the Mibes Koshi. So El means a place. All right, so you do see that the Targum agrees with the Mincha Shai, and the Mincha Shai is proving that some of the Targum had a gear somewhere, it's two different words, not necessarily different words, but you should break it up into two different words. El Koshi, the Mibes Koshi, from a name of a place. All right, let's leave it with that.
And by the way, Nineveh is said to be in northern Iraq near Mosul today.
On the border of Iran and Iraq. Mosul's on the border.
Mosul is not really on the border.
It's pretty close.
It's east of the Tigris. Yeah.
Okay, well,
so that's
further down in Iraq. That's pretty close. That's pretty close to, there's a big mountain range between Iran and Iraq. It's right in that area. If that's the case, so that means that Ashur was at the edge of modern-day Iraq. Okay, the edge, the eastern edge of modern-day Iraq. The northern, Mosul is high up, right? Mosul is towards the north of Iraq. The northern, the eastern northern part of Iraq. That's where Mosul is?
Yeah.
So that would be fine. That's Nineveh. So that this is what it is. And the Targum goes on to tell us. We'll come back to Targum in a moment. Let's go for Rashi really explains over here. Let's go for over here. Let's go now back to the Rashi. Rashi over here says Sefer Chazoin, Nachum Chazoin Nakud Komatz Lefish Rashi. Rashi says Chazoin is Nakud with the Komatz Lefish in a Dovek, it's not connected to anything. It's the word stands on its own. The Ein Adama LaChazoin Yeshayahu Shunakut Chataf Patach, which is with a Chataf Patach, but Rashi says that the Gears in the article is wrong. It should be Sefer Chozoin, not Chazoin. V'chein Perushoi Sefer. What is the Perush of Rashi? Sefer Chozoin Kivor Nichtav Aleha, and this is his interpretation that there already was a book written. Vehi nevuas yoina, this is what the Targum Yonason says as well. Vehi nevuas yoina ben Amitai. V'yato chozar v'nisnabe oleha. And now he's coming to add, to embellish what we already know from the previous Sefer. So according to Rashi, he's coming to answer the question, what is the meaning of the word Sefer? What's the word Sefer? Sefer chozoin there is a book of vision, kivor nichtav oleho, that was already said, and it was already put in print. It's already out on Amazon. You can get a copy of it.
How long after the view was it written down?
I don't know. Good question. I really don't know.
Until then, it was all by memory oral, so
right. Correct. So what's very fascinating is over here, where you say you're touching on something that's very, very fascinating, because over here, if according to Rashi, and this is one of many Perushim, Rashi has learned the word Sefer, this very unusual word, Sefer Chazoin, is referring to not what we're about to read in the future, in the next three Perakim, it's referring back to what already has been written and by Yonah ben Amittai. Yonah ben Amittai was not that much before Nachum. I shouldn't say not that much. If you go back in the chart, page 915, you see where Yonah lived. And Yonah in our chart, he was up there. Okay, Yonah was up there. So this is 3220, right, 100 years before. So that means that the Nevuah was already in print within 100 years of it being said. Is that rule true for all other prophecies? Were they put in print within 100 years of it being said? Or maybe it took 1,000 years. Maybe it took 500 years. I have no idea. According to Rashi's understanding of the Pasuk of Sefer Chazoin, if it's going back on Yonah ben Amittai, this is a fascinating insight that not that much longer after the Nevuah was said, at least in the case of Yonah, was it put in writing so no one should make a mistake. Can we use that as a precedent, as a gilui, a raya, as a mare mokoim, a binyana for all of the other prophecies, that they were very quickly, 100 years was very quick in the ancient times. Things happened very slow in those days. They didn't have any Wi-Fi in those days. It took a very long time things to get around. Is that an indication that others will also take place very, very quickly? I don't know, maybe, maybe not. Yeah.
Was the trup from the Navi, or the trup was the interpreter, the person writing it down?
I don't know. The trup obviously was probably also from the Navi, I would assume. I would assume that part of the Nevuah was the way the trup is basically just commas and paragraphs and sentence structure. The trup is a sophisticated perush of where to put a comma, a semicolon, a colon, a period, a new sentence, a new paragraph. It's a form of grammar. It's breaking up the words in a sophisticated way. Do you know? I don't know. When do you use a semicolon? I can never figure that out. Okay? A colon, I also don't even know. A colon, I don't even know when you... I colon a little bit. I used to figure out how to use a colon. But a semicolon, I used it recently. I wrote something recently and I used a semicolon. I figured, here's a good place to use a semicolon in the middle of a sentence. A semicolon...
That's what it is.
Okay, is that what it is? Okay, could be.
Like a connecting sentence.
Could be. Whatever it is. So, and then there's commas. And when do you use a comma? When do you use the word and? Do you use a comma with an and? The machloikis, right? Different. The MLA book of MLA. There's that book that has all the rules, right? The Bible, all the rules. Style of writing, whatever it's called.
The comma is substitute of the and.
So the correct. There in English there it's very complicated rules of how to structure a sentence with quotation marks. Where do you put the period? After the quotation mark or before the quotation mark? It's machlokes, the UK and America, isn't it? Today I think the style changed over the last 20 years, the style changed of putting the period before, inside. That's not the way it used to be. That's not the way they taught us.
Right.
It taught us originally that the quotation mark goes before the end of the sentence. The period goes at the end.
If the whole sentence is a quotation, then
it doesn't matter. So they used to differentiate between that and when it's not. And now I've been informed that I don't know how to write because I'm putting the period in the wrong place. And I told them, what are you talking about? I got a very good teacher who taught me all this stuff. He says, that's old school. He says, I know what you've been taught. That's old school. Now we follow the standard of Europe. And in Europe, they put the period before the quotation mark. Really, things have changed. Interesting. A lot of things like that. A lot of things have changed over time. So these are very complicated rules. And these little dots and commas and semicolons and colons and quotation marks and cap, when do you use cap, when do you use a capital in the middle of a sentence and this, that, it all speaks, it all is part of the perush hamilois. Guess what? Chazal were way ahead of you. Way ahead of you. They have trop, the Tamei HaMikra. The Tamei HaMikra provides a lot more perush hamilois than anything you can find in any language that can possibly be. So when you have trop, we unfortunately, we're not fluent. We're not familiar with the nuances of the trop. When do you use a darga severe? When do you use a mercha severe? When do you use, you know, a darga severe and a mercha severe? It can be a difference between a colon and a semicolon. Mm-hmm. When do you use a klisha ketan, klisha gedola? What's going on? These are all very sophisticated rules, which most of us have no clue. I really have no clue. They say that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he was very into this. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, his mind, he loved this stuff. He loved, like, if you look at some Emes Yaakov, he has a lot of stuff. He has a lot of Torah on this. A lot of Torah on understanding the grammar of the Tamei HaMikra. And he had a game. And he always, you could give him a pasuk, and he can, don't show me the trop. Give me any pasuk with no trop. No trop. I'm going to put the trop in for you. And he was almost always right. Could you imagine that? Who could do that today? I'll give you a pasuk, put in the trop for me. I'll let you look at the mefarshim. I'll let you look at Rashi, the Targum, and all the mefarshim. And then I want you to put the trop in the pasuk.
That's why when you teach bar mitzvah boy,
yeah,
explain the pasuk.
Of course. If you don't know the pasuk, then forget it. That's the Dabar Pasha. You have to learn all the Rashis. You have to know. But even the translation, you know, it's very sad. The boys, they don't even know the translation of the words. Forget about the perish of the pasuk. Just I give bar mitzvah lessons occasionally, and I ask, well, do you know what this word means? I'm not asking you for the perish of the pasuk. We're not up to Rashi yet. Just, you ever hear of this word? What does this word mean? I'll usually just say someone, Hazaroya v'halichayayim v'hakeva. Right. Do you know what the word lichayayim means? There's no clue. He has no clue what this word means. The cheek, which includes the tongue. It's the cheek and the tongue together. Cheek and the tongue together. He doesn't know. But besides that, the trop, could you imagine giving a person a pasuk and telling them here, all mefarshim, I now want you to put the trop in the pasuk.
Tanakh or only Torah?
Anywhere, and he can do it. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky can do it because he understood the nuances of when it's correct to use a Talisha Ketana and when you use a Talisha Gedola, when you use a Mercha Tipcha, and when you use a Tipcha Esnachta V'chulu V'chulu. I mean, it's amazing. You really got to know. You got
to
know your stuff.
It's surely from tradition.
Correct. That was probably easy for him to do. That was probably easy to figure out the pasuk.
The middle of the pasuk.
I would assume he. I don't know what he did. I don't know the details. But this is what they say. I don't know the pratim. And when you learn his sefer, he has a sefer called. They put out MS Liakov, and every other perush, every other, you know, little thing that he writes, entry. He they have the trop. They put the trop in the pasuk, in the trop in the pasuk, and he explains the nuances. Once I'm telling you, I want to tell you a very funny story. Okay, I want to take a break, tell you something that I find to be. I'm not trying to brag here, because I have nothing to brag about. But I find this to be hilarious, just totally hilarious. I occasionally have the opportunity to lane where I daven. Occasionally, they don't have a steady Baal Kriya. They alternate. So occasionally I get to lane. And I like to lane. They all know that I love to lane. And whatever, it's like a little bit of a tease.
My son tells me all about it.
Okay, they like, I don't get to lane that often. And in fact, not everyone goes to my lane. They're not necessarily happy. Okay. They had a dinner recently. I find this story to be totally hilarious. I cannot believe what happened. I just blows my mind what happened. They had a dinner, and two of the people being honored were my friends. from the yeshiva. Okay, they were being, they honored them. They were very, very about covered. The way they honored them was really over the top. You heard from your son? I saw your son's ad in the journal. Okay, so I have to write an ad for my friend, right? And I was very distracted for a lot of, I was working on certain things, and the deadline was 11 o'clock, and I had to submit it. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not joking, because I got back very late, and the deadline, and I have to come say the shir tomorrow, right? So I have to get up early. So I wrote the beginning of the ed, and then I wrote what I wanted, I wrote like a certain thing that I wanted to write, and then I wrote a pasuk that I felt, you know, described. And then the pasuk was, the two friends were honored together, and I wrote, Havu Lochem, and they were honored for their leadership roles. So I wrote the pasuk, Havu Lochem Anoshim Chachamim Unevonim Viduim Leshivteichem. So, and then I decide I want to write something more. I want to, you know, give it a little more flavor. And in the meantime, I signed my name. And I really didn't know what to write. I just didn't know what to write. I was thinking, and I was so tired. It was literally 3 o'clock in the morning, and I fell asleep. Okay, I fell asleep. Now, when I did it at 3 o'clock in the morning, I went to the pasuk. I didn't have patience. So I went to one of the websites, and I found the pasuk, and I copied and pasted the pasuk. And I literally did not even see what I copied. I just, oh, here's the pasuk. I copied and pasted, and I put it in the document. It had so-and-so, where I wrote a little thing, and I wrote the pasuk, I signed my name. I want to write more. I fell asleep. I woke up the next day, alarm went off, got to go daven. We're all shaken up. I didn't finish the yet. You know what? It's good enough. It's good enough. I wrote enough. Who's anyway going to ever look at who could care less, right? Who could care less?
You didn't proofread it.
I did proofread. Everything I had was good. Anyway, they proofread. Anyway, the people in the office are supposed to proofread it, even though I'm not going to tell you what really goes on there. Okay? They're supposed, okay? All right, so, again, the long, oh, I got to go. I'm going to mamish in haste. Good enough. Who cares? Who even looks? Who even notices? I just finish up. I press send. I come to the shir, forgot about it. I come to the dinner. Oh, there's my ad. Stashed all the way in the back of the book. They gave me a whole page for nothing, not for nothing, whatever. I have a whole page, whatever, in the back of the book. I see my ad, and I see that when I copied and pasted the pasuk, 3 o'clock in the morning, I wasn't paying attention. I copied and pasted the pasuk with the nekudos and the trop. So they show the ear is there, and the ear, it's like very funny. The whole journal, you know, there's Hebrew and English, and Kemat, there's no anywhere in the whole journal, and even any Hebrew, and all the Hebrew entries have nekudos. There's no nekudos in the whole journal. Mine, not only does it have nekudos on that pasuk, it has the trop. So these people that come over, they congratulate and says, what an amazing ear. Wow, we all like to kibitz with you about your laning, and here you got revenge on us. What did you do? You put an ad, you took the pasuk that describes the honor to these two people, and it's as if you're laning it. You're laning it in the journal, because the journal, it's the pasuk is there with the shop. So instead of the pasuk just being there, it's as if you're laning. Havu lochem. It's like you're laying. And I was like stunned, because that was not my kavana. It was a total, total accident. And it's just like, wow, Hashem really has a sense of humor. Okay, in any event, the trop speaks volumes, and here at least Rashi is alluding to this. Over here, let's finish up this Rashi over here. Rashi over here says, Pirush Tevich Hazon Kavod Nisgad V'Olecha V'Hu Nevuah Siyon Ben Amitai V'Yato Chazav V'Nisnabi Olecha. And now he's coming to Minisnabi. So we're going to come back to the tomorrow. But what have we learned today? Let's chaza over in 10 seconds what we learned today before we take a break. We've learned today that Sefer Nachum is a Sefer that is being directed, a Nevuah being directed towards the Umay Sa'olam. He is the third the third of a very unique team. We have Nahum, Ovadia, and Yonah. These are the only three prophets whose prophecy, as far as we know, the only record was only for the Umay Sa'ilam. Hashem sent three prophets to the Umay Sa'ilam. That tells you something. That tells you quite a bit. Now, there's something here to understand Hashem's value of the Umay Sa'ilam. And it brings to light, reminds us that Hashem indeed did offer them the Torah. Hashem did not offer the Torah to the animals. Hashem offered the Torah to human beings. They rejected it. Okay, they got a problem. But Hashem did not give up on them. Hashem still sent them three people, just for them. The second Yisrael over here is, we learned over here about this unusual expression, Sefer Chazoin. Is it Chazoin? Or is it Chazoin? Chazoin with a Chat of Patach, where we have it, is in the Smichus form. And the precedent we have that it should be in the Smichus form is Chazoin Yeshayahu ben Amos. Chazoin. And that would indicate that Chazoin should be Samuch to Nahum Ho'el Koishi. Rashi says no, it should be Chazoin. And Rashi, the Smin Chashai, supports this idea by bringing other sefarim, and then that would indicate that the word Chazoin is not next to Nahum Hoel Koishi, but it is samuch to the word Sefer. And Rashi seems to say that what is the significance of the word Sefer? Rashi it says two things. Rashi says conflicting things. And the second thing the Rashi says that Sefer Chazoin is not even referring to Nahum. Nahum is the Masa. There are many different terms for prophecy. One term is Masa, and one term is Chazoin. He seems to indicate that Nahum, he is delivering a Masa. And Yonah ben Amittai delivered a Chazoin. And this Masa is an appendage, or is an embellishment of a Masa on Nineveh, of the Sefer Chazoin. You have to translate the words a little backwards. It's the Sefer Chazoin of Nineveh concerning this Sefer Chazoin of Nineveh. I have a Masa. I have a commentary. I'm going to give you a Perush Rashi, or I'm going to give you an addendum to this Sefer Chazoin. That's it. Very interesting. On the other hand, it seems to say, Rashi in the beginning, which the Targum says both of these things, Rashi is taking from the Targum in both of these examples, Rashi is this whole embellishment, that what? That this is the Kois HaTarela. Excuse me, where did you get the Kois HaTarela in this Pasuk? You just can't add in new words. You got to find Epis, some remes. And it would seem to indicate that the word Sefer is the word that opens up leads into the conclusion that it's a kois hatarela, a toxic cup, as Rav Chol said, and that would indeed make sense if we want to say that it's a sefer, it's not a nevuah. A sefer means it's a done deal. You're finished. There's no hope. You're beyond repair.
So what's the point of the
It's for us to learn. It's for us to learn. It's a good question. It's a very good question. That's yet to be understood. What's the point then? But in that context, the Chazoin is on of Nahum. Nahum is delivering a Masa, and he's also delivering a Chazoin. So we have, it seems to be a little bit conflict. Rashi over here is vacillating based on the Targum. What exactly is who is the subject of the Chazoin? If the Chazoin is indeed a Chazoin, not a Chazoin, is the subject of the Chazoin Nahum, or is the Chazoin Yonah? You can interpret it many different ways, which is exactly the point. The point is, we want to confuse you as much as possible, because we want to give you the ability to have many ayin panim l'toira. Okay, we'll take a very short break. We'll learn Sefer Chasidim. There's no mistake. There are different interpretations. There's no mistake.
Nahum is Nahum Gamzu.
Nahum Gamzu, no. This is not Nahum Gamzu. That's a joke. That is a joke.
defend it by blaming.
What?
To get back to about blaming.
Oh, I didn't. No, I apologize to you. I forgot to even send a message. I don't know the reason.
He won't win.
So leave it all to me. I'm just going to ask somebody.
He can't win.
Okay. I apologize. I can still listen. I'll do it right now.
No, I'm going to lose. Okay.
Unless I get an answer right away. I can answer if it's possible. I'm going to answer only if it's possible. I'm really, really sorry.
Let's answer this. By the end of this shit, tell me.
Okay. Let me text him right now.
Okay, pass.
Okay, I sent it to him. Okay.
No, no,
I'm sorry, I'm really sorry. It's not, no.
But pass the others. Laser will pass.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh,
awesome. What's today?
Wednesday?
Safe trip.
Very safe trip.
About 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I've been there a very long time, right?
7 o'clock.
Thank you.
Where are you
going
to be? I'm
going to
be there too.
I'm
going Sunday night.
You're going Sunday night. Yeah, I'm
going to
be in Yerushalayim.
Have a safe trip.
I don't know.
We're
going to
miss you very much.
No, I'm going to be well.
Better than yeah.
Soak it all in.
I hope so.
Laser.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Okay,
what time do you arrive if you leave the service?
No, I'm going to Spain first.
Are you going with...
Is there any proof with Chazon and Chazon? We say Chazon Ovadia. Don't say
Chazon Ovadia. I think we have to look at
it. Yeah, Chazon. It's my Bar Mitzvah.
It's Chazon or Chazon?
It's Chazon.
Padal, I mean, it's
Smith.
Yeah. It's like Yeshaya. Chazon Yeshaya. It means the prophecy of.
Prior to a strong Chazon,
Micha. Mean over here, Nachum. Nachum. So that's our Girsa. That's what it says. That's what it says.
It's sort of like.
Oh, but if the Girsa is Chozoin, then it's a whole different interpretation.
Sefer.
It goes back on the Sefer. And what
but
is the Chozoin?
It's a vision.
It's a vision.
The Sefer doesn't it's have a vision. Human has a vision.
But it's not going. It's not. That's exactly what Rashi is saying. According to the second interpretation, it's going on the vision of Yonah, not on the vision of Nachum. Yonah had a vision, and Yonah died, and Yonah's vision has now been recorded in a book. That's why we say, I, Nachum, have a masa, have a vision of a bird, which means to me is another word for a nevuah, that relates or is an addendum to the chazoin, the vision of Yonah ben Amittai, that was already put in book form. And you can purchase on Amazon.
By the way, Rashi goes a little further and quotes the Targum Yonasan.
They'll probably work on
base.
We
didn't finish Rashi.
But we finished Rashi.
But I looked ahead and he quotes it as base.
Bay, right now, the house of Koshi, the house of Koshi. We said
it on the show. What you're saying, that's what I'm trying to correct you.
Okay.
How's everything by you? How's your wife?
You're saying this
is where we're going.
Make a whole new Yaakov? No.
Day to day. Minute to minute.
Not minute to minute.
Okay, we'll see what Sefer Chassidim has to say today.
Thank you very much.
What do you mean you're not telling me? I tell you everything. What kind of marriage is this?
I have a monitor. I have to be near a plant. That's for 2 weeks.
The zone. Okay. I understand.
He wanted to see my heart. How is it?
Be well. Okay, Rabbi, let's begin. We have some interesting things over here about Kiddush Hashem. I actually want to go read what it says inside together with